Testing. I couldn't find a bed anywhere. What am I doing? This is half asleep. You got a bed? Why didn't you tell me something? I couldn't find nothing. That was a good lunch. Man, there was so many different kinds of soups. And you know, I did a Baptist thing. I had two plates. So, I also got that from the Amish. I just carried it right across into the Baptist. So that would fit it in perfect. But that was great. Thank you, ladies, so much for making that lunch and preparing all that stuff. That just takes a lot of work, more than I ever can imagine. So I just want to thank you, and thank you to the church again for allowing me to come here and being a part of this. I just don't get over how welcome I feel here and how home feels so much like home here. So I'm just blessed to be here, and the new people that we get to meet, people that I've been, folks that I've been talking to here, and people that has been in the ministry for years and never been saved. I find that amazing. But it's no different than being a religious person for 30 years and thinking that you knew God and don't even know God. So I have a quote here that A.W. Tozer wrote, and it just fits very much to that. Too many people are trying to worship God apart from Jesus Christ. I will not back down on this in any degree. There's only one way to come into God's presence, and that is through Jesus Christ. Yes, you can worship without Jesus, but you're not be worshiping God of the Bible, the God of the Bible. So there's many ways you can worship Jesus, thinking you're worshiping Jesus, but you're not worshiping the God of the Bible. So we're in session 5, legalism and leading. So this is my last session here. Then Joe's going to do 2 more sessions, and in between that, I guess we're going to have a surprise and testimony is going to come up, and then we have a panel discussion, standing in the gap. And so it's been an exciting time for me to be here, so let's make this count here. I got 30 minutes here. Session 5, legalism and leading. Scriptures used to defend the beliefs. In Matthew 16 and 18, 19, when a church rule is made and written in the ordinance letter, it's considered bound on earth and in heaven. There's a lot of scriptures there that you can read that they use to defend their beliefs. Like I said earlier, they take scripture, they make a rule, a regulation, and take scripture out of the Bible and then apply to it and make it so that it's right in their own eyes what they think. In 1 Corinthians 5, Romans 16, 17, anyone who gets against the church ordinance is excommunicated and shunned. Which I shared on that. Life is supposed to be hard. The harder we had our life, the more humble, the more closer we felt to God, we thought. We drove and had open buggies. We didn't have closed buggies because that's what we grew up with. So the colder we were, the more uncomfortable we were, the more humbler and the more we felt we were closer to God. To this day, I thank God for my Chevy truck and a heater and air conditioner. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says life is supposed to be hard. And then Exodus 20 and 4 is a scripture that they use. Second commandment, permitting and or keeping personal photos are considered graven images. Doll babies with faces fall into the same category. However, animal carvings are acceptable. We were allowed to have animal toys and animal stuffings and so forth like that, and dolls. But a lot of communities that were not allowed to have babies with eyes or nose or anything, just a blank face. They're not allowed to have that. And then number 5 there in scriptures used to the belief is, it talks about Exodus 20, verse 5. Third commandment is disobeying one's parents or church carries consequences into the fourth generation. I know that my father always said that, you know, he needs to be an example to me and my children, because if he messes up and doesn't do what he thinks is right, whatever, it's going to reach down to the third and fourth generation. And the Bible talks about that, like it says in Exodus there. And so there is truth to that. There is truth to that. So now that I left the Amish, I broke that, he takes blame a lot on himself. And that's the way it is with a lot of parents. They take blame on themselves a lot because of their child leaving. They think they've messed up. And that's one thing that I made clear with my father. I said, Dad, you didn't mess it up. You just did only what you were taught. You taught me what you only know. I said, I made this choice. And so they have to try to get you to come back in order to be justified by God, they think. So he tried really hard to get me to come back and do it. Now he has to set me aside. cast me out as a devil and with his angels, what they did. And so now they cut it off. So he hopes that when he stands before God that he did the best that he could. Because it talks about how it goes down to the third and fourth generation. And number six there says, Exodus 20 verse 8, fourth commandment. Nothing is bought or sold, nor is work permitted on Sundays. That's a very sacred thing to them. You can't work on Sundays. And if you work on Sundays, it's a big sin working on Sundays. And then number seven there, Exodus 20 verse 12, fifth commandment in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says, obey parents, which is something that I shared with in the first session. And then number 8 there, Exodus 20, verse 13, sixth commandment, war is wrong, which Joe shared on that. Romans 12, 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 6, 14, remain separate from the world. You have to be separate from the world. They consider themselves separate from the world because of you can't be part of the world. The Bible says, be ye separate of the world. So what is the world to them? The world is like the modern things that I shared with you. That's the world. The cars, the electronics, the modern things and so forth, that's separate from the world. But you and I today, if we're believers, we are separate from the world, or we should be if we ain't. There's a lot of Christians that are following the worldly things too much today. A lot of Christians today doing that. Number 11, scriptures to defend the beliefs is Isaiah 3:16 and 1 Timothy 2:9, avoiding worldly fashions and jewelry, which draws attention to yourself. If there's anything that you do to draw attention to yourself, that's not looked too good upon. My wife, she liked, like I said, her head covering to be just a certain way, ironed a certain way, and her mom just did not like that because her mom felt like she's drawing attention to herself. My wife just wanted to look decent and so forth, and that's all she was asking for. But that got her to leave the Amish because of all the rules and regulations. And number 12 there is 1 Peter 5 and 5 and James 4 and 6. Look, act, and live humble. Look, act, and live humble. The Bible talks about voluntary humility. And that's what that is pretty much voluntary humility. Never discuss church things out with outsiders. And they get that verse from Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Never discuss church things with outsiders. And then on the bottom of that page here, it says, a limited number of Amish know where to start looking for these scriptures. A limited number of Amish know where to start looking, and that's true. The majority, little concerning scriptures location. No, little concerning scripture locations. When an English person quotes scriptures to Amish, they feel inadequate, intimidated, and unequaled to carry on a discussion, leading many to turn a cold shoulder toward the quoting person. Amish may even say, keep your beliefs to yourself. And I personally said that myself. You can believe what you want to, just keep it like that. I'll believe the way I want to believe. And we had a guy that used to work for us as an Amish when we were doing construction. He drove for us, and he was a born-again Bible believer. And he never was afraid to say the truth to us. And he was one of them that believed that, you know, Christmas, you got to celebrate Christmas for the right reasons, for Jesus has been born, the right reasons. Well, we were big into gift-giving. My family was big into gift-giving and so forth. And he explained to me that, you know, it's all about Jesus. And that's when I told him, so, well, you just believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. We're only giving gifts because it's to God, the goodness of our heart. And so, I mean, I never understood that at that time. But thank God that he was part of our life. Intolerable activities, practices, beliefs among many sects, which is number one, modernism, technology draws a person away from God. Pride and haughtiness is worldly and is an abomination before God. Talks about that in Proverbs 6:16, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. And you know, so they take all these scriptures to defend what they really believe. They take these scriptures to defend what they believe. And assurance of salvation is boasting in self and leads to pride. You cannot know that you can be saved. They believe you can't know that you can be saved. Because if you do believe that you can be saved, know that you can be saved, you're saying that you're saving yourself and you're going to heaven? No, that's not the way it is. But that's what they believe. They believe that you're boasting and you're being prideful in what you believe, that you can know that you're going to heaven. You don't know if you're going to go to heaven, they say. They believe that on judgment day, when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, that God's going to tell you, okay, you did this and you did that, now you can go to heaven, or you did this and did that, you can't go to heaven, you have to go over here into hell. They believe on judgment day is when they're going to find out their true salvation. Bright color draws attention to self, which could lead to pride. Entertainment is discouraged simply because it is what the world does. Musical instruments are forbidden. Certain sects will allow the harmonica. I was raised playing harmonica. We play a lot of harmonica, but there's a group of Amish now that I know up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're more like New Order Amish. They dress Amish and everything, live in Amish homes and all that. Drive horse and buggy. But they have, the whole families are a band. They play bluegrass music. Banjo and fiddle, all that stuff. The whole family, they're dressed Amish and everything. You can look them up online. On Facebook, excuse me. On Facebook. So there's some families that do that. Some families don't allow any musical instruments at all. Social Security, government help, or any type of insurance shows distrust in God. If you have Social Security, if you get Social Security from taxes and so forth, that's why we're exempt from Social Security. We paid property taxes, and for years, Dad did not pay any income taxes at all. But Dad had an, what they call an exempt number. It wasn't necessarily a Social Security number, but it was. They call it an exempt number from Social Security. And like Joe was saying, most Amish don't pay into Social Security. And now, I grew up mostly not, I know Dad did for several years, and lots of years he did not pay any social, federal income taxes. He got by with it, but now the banks are, the Federal Reserve is cracking down so much that you cannot borrow any money or do any banking without any, without a Social Security number or without having a tax return. So they started not loaning money so much. Well, now they started, the bank started saying, this is in recent years, that if you don't have a Social Security number, don't do income tax, we can't have a checking account. So they're going to shut that down. So now most of them are now doing tax income. My dad and my brothers and all, they're all doing the same. My brothers, actually, I heard that my brothers, my dad used to not take any tax credit from the children or any tax returns. He would always just let them have it and say, just put it on the next year's taxes or whatever. He would never take it. But my brother's got like six or seven children. He's getting taxed back on that. He's really taking advantage of that. Voting and politics involve giving yourself to the government, and that's true. Playing sports is something the world does. Many groups limit their children from getting involved in volleyball, baseball, and hockey, etc. Family or class reunions are sometimes forbidden, since that is what the world does. We had very few family reunions growing up. A lot of them don't have it. Earning too much money can cause a person to become independent from the group and go modern. However, for many Amish, money is a god. And so, when I was, the way I was raised is it was always a good thing to be in debt, not be out of debt. Be in debt, it's a good thing to be in debt. If you're out of debt, then that could be, you know, you could be led astray to have too much going on and stuff like that. So when Amish men were wealthy and they had quite a bit of money, we looked down upon them because, you know, it's good to be in debt. I had one time my uncle told me I was, I don't know, probably 25, 26 years old, and I said, you know, I'd like to be debt-free by the time I'm 40 years old. I was in debt since I was 19. My dad talked me into buying a place. But I said, I'd like to be in debt, out of debt, and debt-free by 40 years old. He said, oh, he said, that's wrong. That's just wrong. You shouldn't think like that. It's always good to be in debt. It's good to have hard times, and you need to have hard times. It's good to be in debt. Well, that just discouraged me. That just broke my spirit. Like, why is he saying that? I'm not understanding. What's the use of even living? What's the use of even living? So they think that being in debt is a good thing and not. So earning too much money, and then pleasure trips such as sightseeing, fishing, hunting trips are forbidden by many groups. My dad was always against pleasure trips going out west. We always dreamed of going out west, and many guys did. And he always looked down on people that always went out and always tried to discourage me and my brothers and my sisters to not go out west. It's just a sightseeing. It's just a lustful thing. It's all it is. It's a lustful thing to go out there in the world and see all these things. It's just not right. And a lot of communities that are discouraged from doing that. It's forbidden too. No phones in the home. However, they might have a public phone shanty located on a certain Amish properties in the community. The more liberal groups might have a shanty at the end of their driveway. The progressive or liberal groups might have a phone in their front porch. They have rules with that. When they start to get too far with that, they start making rules. Okay, you got to be 300 feet away from the house with that phone. You can't be too close. Some people's been bringing them to the barns and the shops, so they got to move them out 300 feet. So that's the difference between heaven and hell, I guess. I don't know, but it makes me wonder. Amish have their own counseling places. Members are forbidden to attend or get help outside of their bishop. And wrist watches and battery-operated clocks, watches are forbidden by most Old Order Amish. We're going to get now into results of legalistic environment. Legalism makes salvation a performance reward. Legalism often overrides the law of the land, including safety such as sanitation and buggy rules. And this is what Jonas was talking about last night. In Kentucky, in western Kentucky, there was an Amish group down there, and I think these are Swords and Trooper Amish, ain't they? Weaver? They look like Swords and Trooper Amish. But these eight men, they believed, they went to jail because they literally believed what they were doing was right. And when the Anabaptists, when they professed their faith, and they were persecuted for their faith, they died for their faith. And that's what Amish take that as, that by having hardship, by believing what they believe, then and the county and the law comes against them, that's dying, and that's believing for what they for their faith. That's believing what they believe. In other words, that nobody can stop us from doing it. They were not allowed to have these orange emblems on their buggy, according to the church and their rules. They were not allowed to have that. Well, the county ordinances, the county law wanted them to have it because I guess there was buggy accidents, which there was somebody got killed down there. So they would ask them, they made an ordinance that every slow-moving vehicle has to have these orange signs. Well, the Amish said it's too worldly, too bright, they can't have it. They can't have it. That they believed on it so much that finally the law decided they're going to put them in jail and see if they would change their mind. And they went to jail. They would not change their mind. They would stand for their belief in that way. And I always tell people when I share this ministry, present the ministry, I tell people, where do we stand? And how do we stand as a believer of the child of God? Would we stand for, when we get confronted by the law or by the world in a way, would we stand for what we really believe? I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to stand for what we believe on the Word of God. Legalism also results in members who spend most of their lives in comparison to others than God. Legalism creates social isolation. Legalism is mechanical and artificial. Legalism is mechanical and artificial. And it pressures members to make public confessions to groups. So that's what happens to legalism. It pressures members to make public confessions to the group. And so one time I rode in a helicopter and I wasn't supposed to. I did it. And I thought, well, it's okay. Dad saw me do it. It's fine. It's okay. Several months went by, and there was before every ordinance church, before every communion, we had what we call council meeting or ordinance church, what they call ordinance church. They have come to an agreement with everything, with the ordinance and everything. Then they can have communion. Well, a lot of times during the ordinance churches, a lot of the young folks, the men and the young men and women, if they did something wrong and between the two ordinance, the two communion churches, if they did something wrong that they felt, they would confess it and they would be cleaned and ready to go before the church and have communion. And so that was that time. I felt so guilty. I felt so bad. So I was pressured to come forward, and I finally went to the bishop and I said, look, I rode in a helicopter. I'm going to make my things right on my knees. So I made my things right on my knees. And one time I drove a car. I had to make my things right on that too. Didn't take long. I was in a truck. Legalism causes members to become zealous and absolute loyalty to the group leadership. Legalism causes one to focus on what he has done for God rather than what God can do for me, has done for me. Legalism ultimately creates a life filled with sin, such as hypocrisy, greed, selfishness, division, abuse, suicide, unused talent, disunity, jealousy, favoritism, and dishonesty. That's a lot of things what happens. That's always what happens in legalism. It creates a life filled with sin. Legalistic members desperately try to please God, but in their mind, they can never be good enough. Legalistic leaders desperately try to please God. And then they constantly follow group praise pressure rather than being sensitive and obedience to God. And that's exactly what my life was like. I was 30 years old when I left the Amish, and I had my own house, my own barn, had my own property. But everything that I done and everything that I did, I based and I basically performed and did things knowing what my dad thought and knowing what the church members thought, the men thought. I didn't make a decision based upon how I felt. Once I left the Amish, I realized, wow, I really am free, and And Joe had to correct me a little bit, like, you made a pretty quick decision there, bud. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And so I got myself in trouble a little bit because I realized I was free. You know, and it takes a while to grow on that.
That's right.
You know, and I finally was able to make wise decisions. I still have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn because I depended on my dad. I depended on my uncles on making the decisions for me. And I knew their thought process. I didn't have to ask. So I was pressured. It was a group pressure rather than being sensitive and obedient to God. So, and that's exactly what happened when I was seeking, and I first called Joe. First several times that I called him, I said, "Well, I'm thinking about leaving, but you know, I got to get rid of my place. I got to sell my place. I got an investment property that I bought to flip the house on, and all that. You know, once that's all done, and I get my money situated, and I'll leave." And Joe reminded me, said, you know, when God calls you, you know, that really doesn't matter. I don't know exact words what he said, but I just let that go over my head and say, yeah, I don't want to hear any more about God. I'm fine. I got to get rid of this. But it wasn't until after I left and I got saved and I realized, really, how you can be running from God and not know it, but you can be running from God. And so I just thank God that I finally found out the truth. But then legalistic members trust or constantly follow group pressures and trust their religious system for security rather than God. There's a security being in the Amish. When I left the Amish, there was a security there that I depended on, that I could always go back to, and that I could always go and ask questions. When I left, I had to leave everything behind. I was literally out on my own. I was out on my own. And I finally realized that I don't have nobody to go back to as far as them. So I had to create, I had to find new friends and new people and all that stuff, and thank God that God took me out that channel. And you know, when the Bible talks about that, I forget the exact words how it goes, but it's in the scripture that when you leave your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, you know, God will bless you hundredfold then. And that's exactly what happened to me. I have brothers and sisters in Christ now, hundreds and hundreds, hundreds fold. And so that's the way I look at it, and that's the way it is, and I'm so blessed by that. Legalistic members follow human leaders rather than God. Legalistic leaders invent a rule and find a scripture to back it up. They invent a rule and find a scripture to back it up. And then they insist real peace can only come from those who give up and fully submit to the rules of the church. So when Amish leave, they feel like that. For example, for my testimony, my people, they believe that I'm living a very unsettled life. Because I'm out in the world, they believe that I had an unsettled life. I had one of my sisters had told me that you can't tell me that you're happy, knowing full well that I am happy. But they have to make themselves believe that, and that I'll never be able to find peace unless I fully submit to the rules of the church. That's the only way I'll find peace. That's what legalistic leaders do. They teach their members to believe that anyone living outside the community and standards of living are threatening, ungodly, worldly, and gravely in error. And then claim mental suffering and distress often groups induce anxiety and guilt are relieved only by conforming to the group. You can know in the addiction world, you can know in many issues that people have to go that go for counseling, you can never find any peace unless you have Jesus Christ inside of you. It takes Jesus Christ that does that. Leaving the church, you can help your Amish friends. This is a testimony of a letter that comes from a young lady's mother that she wrote to her daughter that had left the Amish. And I just want you to hear the plea of this Amish mother. The plea of her and what she believed. She truly believed in what she thought was doing was right. And so just hear her voice and how she's trying to get her daughter to come back. Is the audio hooked up?
To hear what you are doing. Just think what you are doing. Just think.
Electricity in the house. Oh, I'd be afraid to have such in my house. Really, I would be afraid to have it. What would God say? The parents, our grandparents, none were taught that way, but we were taught it's sinful to leave the faith we were taught, and that is not right to God's way to be different. You told us we'd go to a less liberal church, but it is not the truth, as it is no less liberal to drive automobiles. Laura, you can't drive a van or anything like that. No, you can't. You can't. Do not let Satan let you do it. You can't feel happy and free if you do it. Oh, please don't do it. It makes me cry. I hope I can do my crying here on earth, but afraid you have it later. Don't hope we ever have to see you in different clothes than your Amish clothes. I heard Rachel had a different cap. Oh, Laura, you can't feel free and happy, and at that, you make other people unhappy too. We are fasting and praying for you, hoping you can see it before too late and repent.
You can hear the heart of that mother. She said so many hurtful things that she had no idea what she was saying. But it's a form of control to try to get you to come back, to try to put a guilt trip on you. And I have many letters. My wife has many letters from our siblings. Joe has many letters. We have many letters from other testimonies that are written by our parents, by our cousins, by our family, trying to put that guilt trip on you. Let me tell you, it's hard when you leave the Amish. It is so hard to accept that when you leave the Amish. Because that's all you've ever heard your whole life, how wrong it is to leave the Amish. And when you get a letter like that, man, it was a struggle for me. It was such a struggle for me. And when I left, I got those letters, and I got phone calls, I got voicemails and all that stuff, and I thought I had to answer them. And then Joe told me, said, you know you don't have to answer that. I'm like, wow, I don't really have to answer that. Because I always thought I had to answer to them. I always thought I had to answer to them. But we only have to answer to God. And I had to realize that I was my own person. I was my own self. I was only someone that God created, and that I'm not dictated and controlled by some human being. These are just some of the individuals that have, and couples that have left the Amish. Their testimonies are in this book here. From Michigan, from Ohio, Missouri, Wisconsin, Kentucky. This is, I can't think of his name, Paul Helmuth. And then this is Joe and Rachel Schrock. We know them very well. Joe and Rachel Schrock, they left the Amish 30-some years ago. They actually come from the same community that my dad and mom grew up at. And my mom and dad always talked about them leaving and that they got such a strange belief, which they got born again. And now we're friends with Joe and Rachel, and we go and visit them. Matter of fact, I talked to Joe on the way out here. He's just a great guy. And this is a family from Pennsylvania. This is a guy from Indiana. I think this guy, is he still alive, Joe?
I don't know.
But he used to be, he lived the Amish lifestyle after he was saved, didn't he? And knew the gospel. This is a young man that has been helped through the ministry. Leaving the church, can you help your Amish friends reconsider beliefs? Can you help your Amish friends reconsider beliefs? Because the Amish belief system suppresses open and sincere examination of beliefs and practices. You'll need to use creative tactics to help them willingly reevaluate their religious environment. So, your ultimate goal is to assist your Amish friends by helping them examine the biblical truth which their leadership fails to make available. Try to be an active listener and ask questions designed to open the Amish person's mind. In being an active listener, you gather information, the model and openness, the openness and patience that Amish people need. So here's some helpful pointers in your book here that you can read to. One thing is I would recommend keep communication lines open by your bridge of friendship. Respectfully listen to the Amish person's point of view. When you feel he or she is comfortable with you, ask about beliefs, feelings, thoughts of the Amish culture. It's always wise to do that. Your heart will know if they have doubts or unanswered questions about their religion. And the caution here is avoid pouncing on them as soon as they are revealed. That's one thing that we recommend. Be patient. It could take years to earn the right to ask about intimate spiritual beliefs or share the gospel. There's just several points there. Number 7 there says, show love and concern, but never make it contingent upon their agreement or obedience. And in the bullet point there is, Amish may perceive this as a bribe. But the second bullet point there is, remember, God loves us unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally. And for the most part, the Amish, they believe conditionally. After I left the Amish, there were many English people that came to me, but your mom and dad, they love you, and I'd get upset. How can they love me if they treat me the way they treat me? I was still dealing with bitter and angry about it and hatefulness about it. But I realized, you know, their love is only on a surface level. It's conditional. If you come back, then we'll love you more. I know they love me. They do love me. But it's a conditioned love. They only love me as much as their religion allows them. That's it. As much as their religion allows them. So I don't hate them for who they are. As a matter of fact, I love them more now than I ever did when I was on mission. Because the love of Jesus Christ is inside of me. Neutralize anger or frustration by looking behind the behavior. Sorrow, pain, anxiety are usually the root. And because Amish live in a dictated world, avoid telling them what to do or think. Let the Amish person know his or actions concern you while respecting his or right to do what needed if you feel manipulation is behind the behavior. So remember, God and his power are with you. Be the open channel through God's love, which God's love flows. I think that's the last slide there. So there's an example in your book. I don't know what page it is, but in my book it's 82. But there's an example in there, a sample of ordinance letters that's been written. And that's a true ordinance letter, a sample of one. And each church district and each community, a lot of communities have different ordinance letters. But this is just a sample of one. And this is exactly what they read off twice a year in a community, ordinance church or a council church, what they call that. They read everything off. And we had to go through that every year. Read through that, and remember, try to memorize what's wrong and what's right. Well, anyways, that's the end of my session. Joe's going to be up next. Is there any questions? Does anybody have any questions concerning what the Amish believe?